Right. City Council meeting for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023 is called to order. Invocation by Councilperson Joni Blylock, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance.
Can you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for new beginnings. What an incredible day this is with a fresh year's potential stretched out before us. We want to be found faithful this year in each and every opportunity that you bring to us. As we look to the future, may we reflect on the past and remember the lessons it's taught us. And God, may we always look to you for strength and guidance. Bless the city of Orange Beach, its staff, council, mayor, and her citizens. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Considering previous minutes of our regular council meeting, it can be the whole meeting of 12-6-22, our special call meeting of 12-8-22. There are no objections. The reading of these minutes will be waived, or any corrections to the minutes. No corrections. The minutes stand approved as written. Announcements?
Mayor, I just wanted to make the announcement that the pier at Waterfront Park, that was a home run hit over the center field fence. I mean, it is gorgeous. It is beautiful. We walked out there last night, Yo and I, and met this wonderful couple from Thomasville, and they came down and just said how they couldn't believe how beautiful it is. But a lot of people out there, so I just want to say, if you hadn't been to the pier, go there. It's a beautiful place, especially right around 4:30 or 5 as the evening comes on, the lights come on, and it is a beautiful, beautiful addition, and the two-year wait was well worth it.
The underwater lights were on, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I say that is a lot of folks don't know. We spent the money to put underwater lights and reefs around it to try to improve the fishability of the pier. So hopefully it's going to be turned into a nice place to fish.
Man, it is so nice. Ladies are 20 years younger than me. They look 20 years younger than me, even though my same age walking out on that pier.
Well, let's all rush down there. Why didn't we have our meeting?
And it was worth every mud penny we spent. Anyone else?
No, sir.
All righty, then we'll move to auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Abstain.
Would you like to do your presentation now? Okay, Ms. Cindy Ross. Jason Ross. Did you bring the chief with you?
I did the bring the chief. I did bring the bigger chief. And it's not Jason. All right, guys. Cindy Ross. I do all the social media with the City of Orange Beach, and we had the pleasure of visiting the Masai Mara in Kenya right before Christmas. And as you all know, I always travel, and out of 67 countries, this was probably the most overwhelming trip for me. I started a nonprofit back in 2016 in honor of my brother called Changing Hearts Against Diversity, and I never really knew what my mission was with it. I was kind of all over the board and I was looking for direction. And when we came to the Masai Mara, Jason would look at me and he'd be like, why are you crying? I don't know, it was just that overwhelming and these people just stole my heart. And I thought, what better way to spread their message than to share it with you? So we went into the village and they just started this clean water project. So they actually drink the water out of the river where the animals are drinking their water and where they're washing their clothes. Lots of parasites, as you can imagine. I mean, it's poverty, more so than I've ever seen before. And that's the river. I mean, and so if you don't get there early in the morning, the river gets polluted as the day goes on. But not just that, they also risk their lives as far as the animals attacking them. So they had the water project go in. It was donated by a man in Louisiana. It was like $70,000. But the problem is, it's not, they don't have a purification system yet. And then, even though that they have hundreds of tribes in this area, and they opened up to anyone can come get this clean water, it's getting there is the problem. And so one of the missions is to be able to offer these wells in other sections of the villages. Another one of the areas, Mark, if you go back to that last picture. So this is the water that's there. And right in front, there used to be a fence there. They had the wildebeest that came through during the migration last year, knocked down the fence that surrounded their crops. And their crops are what the women, they fill the vegetables, and that's how they're able to send the children to school. It costs about $475 a year to send the children to high school. Most of them never get to go to high school. So the fence project is another project that they have going, and it's about $5,000. What they want to do is put a wire fence around this crop area and then solar panel it for the electricity. And then Mark is going to show my website later, and I kind of made a list of things, you know, like you can buy a cow, you can buy a chicken, so many different things that you can do to provide sustainable living skills to this community. I'm telling you, these people, they welcomed us in their homes. These are their homes, what Mark is showing. And, you know, it's nothing for them to have 11 to 12 people, and their herd stays right in the middle of the village. So David, the bigger chief, he actually led us around a couple days and really educated us on the area. And it truly is. It's so heartbreaking and so sad. But I mean, these people are just smiling and they're happy, and you just want to do good for them. And you know, Jason and I, we've always wanted to give back, and you never really know where your money goes to. So I was really fortunate to be able to connect with the chief, and to know, you know, like where our money is going if we wanted to donate. Also, when we were going around on safari, the guy that led us for like 7 days prior to this, we connected with his wife that runs an orphanage, and it's all the kids that have HIV that have been abandoned. And so there's a lot of projects, and there's a lot of good to be done. If, you know, I just want to put the word out there. If you want to give back, I definitely can make sure that your money goes in the right area. There's a little video there.
Hello, Mr. Tony Kenneth. Greetings from the Maasai Mara, Kenya. I'm the bigger chief than you.
That was good.
How much did that cost, Cindy?
He is much a man, huh? I'm not fighting no lion. Hello, but there was some other banter back and forth, and he's like Cindy said, he's a... He is a real man, has a real heart, and he's an unbelievable personality.
And you know what?
It's really a pleasure for me to be
there, but for the grace of God, go we. Mm-hmm. We could just as easily have been placed right there.
Exactly right.
Than right here in Orange Beach.
Yeah.
Chief Kenan, thank you so much for allowing Justin and Cindy Rose to come down here to Kenya, Maasai Mara, to assist us having good water. Thank you.
Yeah, they're so humble. But I have all the information on my website. It's called changinghearts.org. And I have both projects on there if you want to learn more about the area and the location. And always reach out to call me. And I just greatly appreciate you guys allowing me to share our experience.
Thanks,
Cindy. What's it called, Changing Hearts?
changinghearts.org. It stands for Chad. That was my brother's name. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sure. Cindy. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason.
I punched a bass. I run possums off with a Dollar General broom. So
maybe we could come up with a fundraiser of some type. And, I mean, especially to replace the fence, and so let's...
I had an intern coming in in the middle of January, and we talked about putting a fundraiser together. So we'll come up with some ideas.
Yes.
Let me know.
Yes, that would be good.
Well, I think the one thing I appreciate about it is there, every dollar we send them is appreciated far more than every dollar we put in anywhere here. So, okay, thank you. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, moving to unfinished business under ordinance. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172, zoning ordinance. Sections, you see them all listed there.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, roll call.
Oh, roll call.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Moving to new business, miscellaneous. Approval of 2021 audited financials.
Move to postpone consideration until the next council meeting on January 17th.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Under resolution declaring dumbbells owned by the City of Orange Beach as surplus, donated to the Orange Beach Board of Education.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. The resolution authorizes the purchase of a vehicle for Coastal Resources Department, $53,392.72.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolution authorizing the purchase of two vehicles for the Coastal Resources Department, $80,954.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Moving to a public hearing. Public hearing for ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Mariners Lakes Minor PUD Amendment, Arlington Orange Beach Residential Development. Yes, sir.
Yes, this is for the undeveloped vacant portion of the Mariner Lakes planning to development that's west of the Fairfield Inside. If we can go to the first slide. Back in 2007, there was a project called Bel Air Towers. It was three towers ranging between 14 and 18 stories in height, 375 total units. In October of last year, which was a few months ago, it was amended to what you see on the screen to down to two buildings. You had a north building, four stories in height, 82 units, and then a south building, five stories, 70 units, 152 total units. So it decreased from 375 to 152. Now, if we go to the next line, this is what is being requested this evening. And it only pertains to the south building from that October 2022 amendment. But the south building will be going from a height of five floors to four floors, so it's decreasing in height. The number of units overall in the building is decreasing from 70 to 64. The overall reduction in the total number of units going from 152 to 146, so you're decreasing the density with the project. The only thing that's increasing will be the building footprint, that it's going to be increasing about 3,900 square feet. If we go to our next slide, and this just gives you an overall where this project area is located in relation to Perdido Beach Boulevard and Loop Road. We go to the next three slides, and this will be the architectural renderings of the revised building.
So it just is it a cost issue that it's cheaper to go 3,900 square feet bigger and one floor smaller?
I believe that they said it was a cost.
Okay. Yes, sir. It was insured. Stories makes a significant difference from an insurance standpoint from the developer. Mr. Dave Ellis was here back and saw you before and apologizes for not making it tonight.
It's okay.
With the weather, he was concerned about it.
There's two buildings. Yes, is there room or footprint in mind for a third building later down the road, or is this the end of the end of the line?
As Arlington Properties stands, there are no future development plan for this property. What we put forward is where we expect it to land in October until they have that insurability issue. So we have no further development plans. I don't really know if we could even fit anything, to be honest with you, the way that it's laid out with the parking requirements.
Okay.
I'm sorry, can I get your name for the
record? I'm sorry, Kathy Barnett with Dewberry Engineers.
Thank you.
All right, any questions for Griffin?
I think it looks good.
All right.
Thank you, Griffin.
Open the floor up to anybody that has a question, comment, concern. Not, we'll close the floor and move on. All right, moving to ordinance, the first reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Mariner Lakes Minor PUD Amendment. Do we have a motion for unanimous consent?
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please, ma'am.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Motion carries.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. Thank you. First reading, ordinance amending Chapter 70, Article 2, Section 70-22C2B of the Code of Ordinance of the City of Orange Beach to reduce the speed limit from 55 to 40 on the portion of the State Highway 180 from milepost 25.5 to milepost 26.0. Yes, ma'am.
Kit Alexander, Community Development Department. I know it's not a desirable speed limit we would like to have on Canal Road. However, this is in order to accommodate the full access movement for the entrance onto Powerline Road to the fire station, in addition to the full access for the fire station proper. In order for us to have full access for both of those accesses, we're going to have to shorten that acceleration lane coming out of Main Street and restripe Canal Road. This is a time-sensitive issue because the occupancy of the fire station is tied to completion of the Canal Road improvements necessary for DOT to support us to go ahead and open the fire station. So we would ask that you consider suspending the rules in order to approve this to get our permit in place so we can get started on those Canal Road improvements.
I thought it was already 40.
40. Since the construction, and it's too close to the big power lines, isn't all Canal Road 40 now?
No. It's 50 in that location.
Yeah. And that's a very short period, short length, is it not anyway? So I don't
yes,
have
yes, it's
a
just from the Foley that. Beach Express east. Now it's going to be 40 all the way to the Foley Beach Express.
Yeah. Yes.
Did DOT tell us that this was going to come? I mean, did we have any idea, or is this just something that they just said, oh, by the way, you've got to reduce the...
Well, what the way this works is a speed study is performed. The consultant hires a traffic engineer that submits a speed study. The outcome of the speed study is that the speed limit needed to be reduced. So it wasn't determined until the actual
speed study had
been completed and reviewed.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then we could probably plant palm trees now, huh?
That's Beach Highway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That is still on the agenda.
If they're going to cut down the tree right here at City Hall, we probably should put palm trees on Beach Highway.
Yeah. They're not cutting that tree down.
You're the one that said you were fine with it.
Since you bring that up, did you know 59 has massive trees? And the speed limit wasn't reduced.
They're crepe myrtles.
Yeah, but the speed limit wasn't reduced.
They were less than 4 inches
in
diameter, supposedly.
Yeah, I thought it was 3.
They reach a certain point, and they have to be replaced. And you have to have a certain distance on either side of them also. The distance, the clearance is also a critical part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am anti-reducing speed anywhere. Even if it's just a suggestion.
I mean, I already thought it was 40, so I should have run it. So.
Yeah.
I wasted an opportunity.
Thank you, Kit.
Thank you, Kit.
Okie doke. Have a motion for unanimous consent?
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow the immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Your motion to adjourn?
So moved.
To adjourn.
You have a second?
Second.
Oh, I need, okay. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye. I call regular city committee the whole meeting to order January 3rd, 2023. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Considering previous minutes of the work session, regular council meeting committee of the whole, 12/13/22, to be moved forward for review. Under new business miscellaneous, reschedule council meeting on February 28th to March 1st to be held at the Orange Beach Event Center. Was that because of the town hall meeting?
Yes, yep. And that will okay. be followed by the town hall.
So is we'll that good with y'all?
Yes. Yes.
I thought we was going to PAC.
I thought
it
was
for
T.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll figure it out. As long as the date's good with y'all, we'll decide. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Date change is fine.
Okay.
I think we said the PAC. So
we only have in, so February, we have a meeting on the 7th, and then no meeting on the 21st to the 28th?
No, we have one on the...
On the 28th. Yeah, so we'll have a...
Actually, we're only doing one meeting in February, so we'll have Fat Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So then we do March 1st, then we're going to do March 6th, then March 20th.
Well, March 7th, then March 21st.
And the 21st.
14th, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that good with y'all? You okay
yes.
with that? Okay. Discuss variance request submitted by Brett Robinson for Phoenix Key dewatering.
I think Philip talked to everybody about dewatering. We're not dewatering an existing asphalt parking lot. It's a type of component that needs to be done during construction. You're taking groundwater and pumping groundwater up. It's being filtered already, but it's not a discharge of a parking lot or anything like that for construction. It's a normal use. Normally they can do that administratively in the building department, but ADM requires us now to vote on it.
I talked to Philip as well and asked him to send that email kind of explaining it all to us.
Right.
And just so we understood what we were voting on. And, I have no issue with it at all.
Yeah. Trying to just help get some groundwater out so that they can continue on construction.
Cool. It's going to be pumped somewhere.
Yeah, and quite frankly, it's already filtered water through the sand.
Yep.
There's no contaminants or anything like that.
What I asked him, is it, just to clarify knowing what we were doing, he said we used to handle these, and now ADM is asking for us to go through the variance process.
Yes. Right.
So this will be our first one, I guess, and how we're doing this. But
right.
He did send an email explaining it.
Well, I just want to clarify, it's not parking lot water or anything that's contaminated or anything like that. It's truly groundwater.
And is it not a unique situation, grade, location, et cetera, et cetera? It's not the norm. Thanks, Woody. Pat. All right. Moving to a resolution authorizing execution of task order with McCullough Architecture. New softball baseball field house, $46,800. Everybody got an eyeball of sort of what that's about?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution authorizing execution of task order with McCullough Architecture Professional Services, Orange Beach City Schools, Central Office Building, $89,600. Y'all good with that?
Yes.
Y'all like the location?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Resolution authorizing execution professional services agreement with Chris Litton for various special services. Resolution authorizing execution of task order with Watermark Design bid construction, roof replacement rec center, community center, following the April 10th, 21 hailstorm, $69,500. Y'all good with those? Okay. Moving to ordinance amending Chapter 42, Article 2, Division 2. Code of Ordinance, City of Orange Beach, to adopt 2021 International Fire Code. I'll go with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chief, anything we need to know about with that?
Yep.
Yeah,
it was an email.
Okay.
Email today.
Wasn't there an email about the changes in the state?
Correct. Yes. So that was actually was brought to your attention. So if you have any questions on that, I'd be more happy to answer them. Obviously, there's some that was adopted in the state code last year that we unfortunately have to adopt as well, because we can't really opt out of it. Otherwise, we take the liability on that. So It is in there, and we're gonna send a letter out to all the occupancies that are gonna be affected by it, and we're gonna sit down personally with each one of them and discuss that in the 12 years they have to comply. So that's the big change in the ordinance in the fire code. So.
And this is international to the state adopted, which forces us to adopt it.
Correct. Yes. Because we cannot do less than what the state requires. So that's actually correct.
So the fire department will be in charge of all those buildings and making sure they're on schedule.
Correct. So the first one is actually notification to let them know that this is here, that you have to file a letter that says you're going to outline how you're going to be compliant with it, and you have 12 years to do that. So it starts the process with them now. And obviously, 12 years is a long time, so we don't know what will happen between now and then. But like I said, we're going to sit down with each one of those occupancies before they get the actual letter, because we're going to send a letter certified mail. I'm going to have legal review it, but we'll actually sit down with them first so they don't get that. It's not something you want to get in the mail. So we're going to sit down with them, give them a copy of the letter and say, hey, here it is. Ask us questions. We'll try to do what we can to make sure they understand it before they get the letter in the mail.
That is a good proactive approach, Chief. Thank you.
It's the best we can do with the situation we're in. So,
we understand.
Yep.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right. Questions, comments, concerns? And is there anything in Facebook?
Just the Chief said he's watching live from
the Is he really?
I messaged him earlier, so he's at like 2 a.m. to watch.
Wow.
So say hey, Chief.
So he's there now?
He's there
now. Oh. Yeah. Hey, Chief.
Chief, Tony wants to come kill a lion. Tony the tiger. Remember, Tony the tiger.
No, we do not. Maybe a few years back.
That is true.
When they build a road and a bridge, we'll go see him.
We need Chief. To send him our machete.
Yeah.
I will say that thank you for hosting the Rosses the way that you did, and that I think we're committed to trying to help them raise some money to help your village. So thank you for what you did.
Yeah. We have tremendous appreciation and respect for you, Chief.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. How
Ready?
You doing, buddy?
Good, good. John McCabe, Bay Drive. You know, before the meeting, I asked those council members whether or not what I wanted to discuss was within the purview of the council, and they thought it probably was, but it has to do with, and I think it does, because it involves a utility. And as you know, a utility has a special privilege. You know, it prevents a lot of competition, and they have a responsibility, certainly, to the public. In this instance, I'm talking about what used to be CenturyTel, and I believe it's now Brightspeed. On December 16th, and again, I have a landline, and on December 16th, which was a Friday, it went out. I went online, and you have to chat. There is no phone number for this company. You have to do it by internet. And it was indicated to me that it would be up and running by the 18th. At noon, and then later on it was the 18th at 4 o'clock. Then it was the 19th at 12. Then it was the 19th at 4 o'clock. Then it was the 20th at 12, and it was the 20th. Well, anyway, this stretched on to the 22nd when they said, for sure, it'll be ready. We'll fix it. But ended up not till the 23rd that the problem was fixed. Now, again, I must have spent 8 hours on chat lines because every person you spoke with was from a different country, and believe me, English was a problem in the way they were writing. And every time I ask if I could speak to a supervisor, and there are no supervisors. So it was very, very, very frustrating, and you know, it finally got resolved. However, I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can find somebody I can speak with, because if you look up in the internet for Brightspeed, there are no phone numbers. The phone number you'll get is this one line to customer service to somebody from Guatemala or Honduras or somewhere such as that. And so their executive office phone number, if you dial it, that's who you're going to get. Well, I went online and I came across a phone number, and I was able to get through, and I emailed someone within the company. And I said, look, it went out on the 16th. Tell me why it took to the 23rd, what happened, and give me information, because here you are on the 16th telling me it's going to be ready on the 18th, and I quite frankly need the landline. Now, it wasn't so critical to me as it would have been to those people. Their internet is also tied in.
Right.
My neighbor across the street, Norm Matzel, nothing. And he couldn't even contact them. So I've never met a situation where there's been less customer service and more disdain for the public than this company. You know, I was dealing with Holly in your office, who's very, very cooperative. And I asked, are there similar complaints? And she says, well, there have been a couple. Well, finally, the gentleman that came out on the 23rd to fix it was very, very upfront. And I said, by the way, how many homes in Orange Beach were impacted by this? He said, 68. And I said, well, what happened? Well, again, the gentleman that I was corresponding with Brightside, indicated that it was a failed cable. This gentleman said, and again, I don't know if it's truth or not, he said it was a cut cable. And I said, well, who cut it? He said it was the water company. They do it all the time. That was his response, so I can't verify it. Don't hold me to it. But I just want to share with you, I prepared a 2 or 3 page comment to the PUC, and I'm going to follow up because it was just not right. Just not right that you can't contact anyone within the company. And the reason I'm up here is if anybody has similar outrage in the community that was impacted by them, please have them contact me. Again, it's a utility. We don't have that many choices. But there is no service. And one last comment I'm going to make. Go on to Facebook, which I don't usually do, and look at the comments on Brightspeed. It's unbelievable, unbelievable. So I'm sure there were a lot of complaints when CenturyLink was in operating. I wasn't pleased with them. But thank you for Jerry Johnson talking me into going with Island Fiber, or else I would have been part of the group as well. But
John, thank you. I was not aware. I knew the name had changed to Brightspeed, but I just wasn't aware how bad their service was. That's why I wanted you to make your comments.
Thank you. Well, just go to Facebook.
Yes. Yeah, go to Facebook. Okay.
Well, we have had these type of issues with other utility companies, whether it be cable, whatever. And it's really frustrating because feels like we would pull business license, pull the franchise agreement, whatever we need to do to get them to do what they're supposed to do. But we essentially have no teeth. It just makes us it's very frustrating. I had an Orange cable in front of my house for 3 months, Mediacom.
Yeah.
And
The only thing I would comment is that there's some satisfaction by going to the PUC, and maybe I believe that's the state remedy. Or potential remedy, the federal, the FCC, and I'm going to go to both. And there's some satisfaction there, then that's good.
And if a letter from the city is appropriate, I have no problem doing that as well. But it's just very frustrating to think that they can do what they do to us the way they do it.
And again, especially those people that have their internet.
Yeah, I mean, they were totally down. Yeah,
I mean, exactly. I've got a cell phone, of course, so the landline, it was irksome, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
As impactful as that. So,
I think this brings up another point, and we've experienced it a lot in my neighborhood. I'm sure everyone does. Mediacom, CenturyLink, they send third parties out to dig the cables. They bus lines, they bus gas lines, and then you have rocks for months before somebody comes to fix them, usually because you have to get in a rotation. Today we had a main water line busted on Jubilee Point. I got pictures of it while I was in the airport. And I guess my point is, Kit, is there any way that we can have a stricter accountability for the people that screw up, that if they don't fix and repair in a timely manner, we could just yank a business license for a third party or to do something? Because it just, It seems like they do it because there's not really that much accountability. Well, back when Fire Island Fiber and they were in the race with CenturyLink, getting, not CenturyLink, but CSpire putting stuff down, they were hitting, they were cutting stuff left and right because it was a race and they just didn't really care. And so,
well, and I guess I was going to ask Jamie. I mean, we give these companies a franchise to operate.
In the right
that they have the right to operate in our right of way, but their expectation has to be that it's going to be, they're going to provide good service. And so is, I mean, were we aware of any issues with Brightspeed?
I was aware.
Okay, and before, I haven't
before
been.
Jamie, Juan and I looked at it. Juan looked at it because we were looking at stopping the issuance of permits and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I guess we could follow up, and I think we simply ran into a brick wall. It was limited. Do you remember? It was very limited what we could do.
Yeah, and there's two issues. There's the offending party that cut somebody else's line, and then there's the party that has to come out and fix their line. So.
And then the party that has to repair the road or wherever, like there's a main water leak, right, or they've got to dig a road up, and then you're stuck with a divot, and then that you're not on the rotation to get paid for years, so you're stuck with a divot in your neighborhood with that for years. There's a lot of ramifications to it.
And I mean, we're working, I know Jamie's working on getting the issues with Mediacom buried. I
think they've done better.
They've done better, but it's like, it's you know, good leadership would say, all right, we're having issues, go fix this, and then somebody ride the whole city and we'll fix every issue. But no, they wait until we complain or send them a letter before they do anything. But I just wasn't aware of Brightspeed to, but I appreciate John making those
so
comments.
So we're all aware Brightspeed took over CenturyLink, right?
CenturyTel.
So is that, do we have a connection? Is it still based out of Foley or is it all South Carolina or whatever?
And does it change our agreement?
Where does it change our agreement? And when can we sit down with Brightspeed folks and say, you've accepted a franchise.
Yes.
You bought a franchise agreement, bought into a company that had an existing one. We need for you to understand this is what we want here in Orange Beach. And here's some of these, a list.
Yes.
Kid has had the most contact, I think, with CenturyLink, right?
With CenturyLink, yes. And I do want to make sure that everybody understands what often happens is in the case of CSpire. Mm-hmm. CSpire has subcontractors that work for them. They were on a high-speed initiative.
Sure.
And they had set these subcontractors loose.
Yep.
When Ford, Hanley, and myself, when we are notified of these issues, primarily me, but I know Ford has had some involvement too, we do have people at CSpire that we can pull in and have them then get in touch with their subcontractors. I think there was even a time when CSpire, and I think we had problems with Verizon at one point, they actually threatened to let some of these subcontractors go because it reflects on the company. It doesn't reflect on the subcontractor.
Yes.
So there are reasons why we need to be informed so that we can perhaps pull people in at a higher level to come in and clean up what's happening at the subcontractor level. So it's not, they're not entirely aware.
Do we have no authority on our own that some sub, like the CSpire ones, they were horrendous. After three major cuts or something, we can say you're out before CSpire says it. Do we have no authority as a city to kick them out?
I don't believe we have that ability. No, I do not believe we have that ability.
We have some options.
And Jamie has been looking into what options are, and we are planning on eventually to look into the right-of-way permit and perhaps put some language in the right-of-way permitting or in the right-of-way ordinance to see if there's something we can do to strengthen that ordinance to give us some options.
I'd be willing to strengthen it because it just seems like we have an enormous amount of cuts, and it's because all the underground drilling and people just, they're on a job and they're a third party, and they just, if there's no consequence to them, it's really no big deal.
Well, part of the reason is because we've had a fiber to the neighborhoods initiative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though the cuts per the amount of work have increased. It's because of the amount of work. We had such an incredible initiative with regard to Island Fiber and then CSpire coming in. Once we get to the finish line, which is where we are, I think we're going to see a decrease in that activity. But I do want to say something about CenturyLink. And I think I'm not, I don't think I'm telling you anything that you don't already know. What we have witnessed is, you know, in our other utilities, we have a presence. We have a presence in water and gas and, you know, MediaCom. I actually have a presence, and I do have a working relationship with someone at MediaCom. For whatever reason, and I don't know about Brightspeed, I don't know if it's going to change things, but for whatever reason, we have difficulty with their presence here. It's almost as though they don't have much of a presence here, like they're moving out of the area is what it feels.
So they really don't care.
I don't know their reasons. I just know that, you know, we're dealing with them with regard to utilities in conflict with road widening projects. It's hitting us in many different directions. And so I think that as a consumer, people need to consider, and I'm not telling people what to do, but there are options. They may not be as, you know, many options as they would prefer, but I do think that people need to be aware of who their vendor is and make decisions based on performance. Because we can't tell them, unless Jamie Logan tells me something differently, I don't think we're at the point where we can tell them you cannot be within our rights of way. And unfortunately, if they don't have that local presence, it takes away our ability to have them, you know, cooperate with our requests.
Well, looking at the ordinance, and this is somewhere down the road, but looking at the ordinance for the future, if a company comes in and buys out CenturyLink like Brightspeed or something else, let's have checks and balances in there that they need to come before us and renew.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like an alcohol license. You know, a company comes in and buys another, it doesn't transfer. It's not a non-transfer. Let's look at it like that.
Yes. Well, look, I don't know how much of the franchise is actually dictated by state law.
Yeah.
That's the difficulty
for
us. But where we have the ability to put teeth in it, we're trying. We really are. But if we can get, if folks in town will call us, we don't mind making the call on your behalf to try to see if we can speed up the fix. So I know you wouldn't have known to do that, but now I'm putting it out there. From if something happens like that again, call us, and we'll see if we can't make the call to get it done for you. Because they've done that for me with MediaCom.
Mr. McCabe, I believe that when you call customer service for a U.S. problem, you have the right to demand to speak to someone in the United States. And it may take a couple transfers to get that, but I believe you can demand that.
By the way, Brightspeed is, everything is in North Carolina.
Okay. North Carolina.
Which is where CenturyLink
is. North Carolina.
North of South Carolina.
Louisiana. Monroe, yeah.
The company prior to them that GovTel sold to was from the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you're right, John, it's on the East Coast.
Thank you, John.
The race with Island Fiber and C Spire did increase a lot of that.
Sure.
But it was happening before that. MediaCom was doing it with the orange cables, and they'd send some mom and pop to dig under. Hit a water line, those people are gone and didn't care. And then you just, and I know it, and I guess my point is just, it's frustrating sort of as a city official to kind of look and go, I can't tell someone in my neighborhood that we can help them really because our hands are tied. And if there's anything we can do to strengthen an ordinance, whether it's permitted to a third party or a subcontractor in some way, that I'm willing to look at.
And I think the best thing, if we're going to try to work with them, it's just document every issue we have, every complaint, date, and the complaint. And if we'll just build a case, that gives us more to stand on legally than what we would if we didn't have anything. So, John, you've alerted me. We will see if we can.
And I've documented and I've.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Kid, I appreciate what your comments were also.
But the most immediate help would be for them to call us.
Yes.
And let us see if we can make the call
yes.
on behalf of the city
yes.
to get someone out there.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, if I may address that.
Sure.
When I talked to Holly, she tried to get a phone number, and she called me and says, there are no phone numbers. We don't have one.
That's the problem.
So
With this one.
With this utility. Now, other utility companies, please.
Yeah.
It's also good for us to have this information and document it. Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with them.
I was able to give Holly the phone number.
Well, I'm glad. Good. Okay. Good. Right. Well, thank you for that, and I'm glad Holly tried. That's
yes.
good.
Thank you, Mr. McCabe.
And if Holly can't find it, I don't know that anybody can, so he must be a master, so.
One quick question.
Yes, sir.
Comment. MediaCom was burying cables on East Benito, both sides just beyond the asphalt. So I called MediaCom. He said, we'll call our construction company and find out what it is. They didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were burying the orange cables. They had no clue. They were about to pull them through Island Fiber's conduits that they buried. And I approached the guy, he said, I don't speak English. And I said, don't do it.
Stop.
And they all left.
No is universal, isn't it?
You know, Island Fiber, Point Broadband, didn't know that they were out there, that they were about to pull cables through their conduits. MediaCom didn't know who was digging up, I mean, immediately adjacent to the asphalt on both sides.
It's frightening.
Didn't know that they were doing anything. No one knew anything, including the guys that were out there doing it.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Just
thank you for that.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Anything else? Okay. If there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned.